You're listening to a resource from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to promote excellence in biblical counseling. For more resources or to find out more information about ACBC, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.
12:30. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. I know that there'll be stragglers coming in, but I want to be kind to you and let you out at the right time, okay? So my name is Susan Heck, and I'm with the Master Ministries, which is a ministry geared for women to equip them in Scripture. So I write expository Bible studies for women along with some counseling materials, and I've been certified with ACBC, but when I got certified, it was NANC. So about 20 years ago, I was certified, and so it's a joy to be here and to talk about one of my favorite topics, which is scripture memorization and the importance of helping our counselees memorize God's word for a changed life. And so I want to pray, and then we will begin our time together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have. And Lord, I know we're coming to the end of this conference, and many are weary and tired, and I pray that you'll give us that extra measure of strength to be able to listen. Not only to what you have for us in this session, but the one following with Adam Tyson. Lord, thank you for this conference. Thank you for all we've learned. Thank you for the many men and women who have put this together and for the richness of the time that we've had with not only the teaching, but fellowshipping with one another. Thank you for these ladies, and I pray that you would use this hour we have together for your glory and to help not only us in loving to memorize your word, but those that we pour our lives into. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, last year, the Lord, in his kindness, took my husband to heaven. And we were married 6 days short of 46 years. And he was a pastor. He had preached for 50 years. And but I met him at Moody Bible Institute when I was 18 years of age. And we started dating, and one of our first dates that we had, he asked me if I had ever memorized any scripture. And I said, of course, I'm a Baptist minister's daughter. I've memorized John 3:16 and the Romans Road. And I did not know at the age of 18 that he had most of the New Testament memorized at that time, but I thought I was impressing him with that. And he said, no, I'm not talking about that. He said, I'm talking about a book of the Bible. Have you ever memorized a book of the Bible? And I found out later he was known as the Moody Monk, and now I know why. And so I said, no, I've never memorized a book of the Bible. And he said, well, I'd like to encourage you to do that. And I didn't realize he had this list of qualifications that he wanted in a wife. She had to know Hebrew, Greek, church history, and all this. And I'm just, you know, a little peon knowing John 3:16 and the Romans Road. So anyway, he encouraged me, shared with me his method, and he said, why don't you start with Colossians? It's an easy book. And so he shared with me his method, and so at the age of 18, I memorized the epistle to the Colossians in hopes that he would ask me to marry him, and it worked. So that's not a good motive for your counselees, but it was a good motive for me. And that was the beginning of a journey for me. Now, to be fair, the Lord, I thought I was saved. I was saved and baptized 3 times, but it never took, and so some of you may have heard my testimony, but at the age of 30, God saved me. And so I did not pick up that habit of memorizing scripture again until the age of 30 years of age. And due to my husband's encouragement to become certified with what was then called NANC, National Association of Nouthetic Counselors, I began to pick up that habit again before I became certified. And I found that even through the certification process, that knowing scripture, a lot of scripture, really helped me with the theological exam, with the biblical exam, and with the counseling exam. And I'd already started counseling and discipling because I was a pastor's wife for 46 years. And so I had already started counseling and discipling, and I'd noticed as I gave women assignments of scripture memorization and they would memorize it and then apply it to their lives, it began to change the way that they think. And, you know, we need to renew our minds through God's Word. And I'm going to give you some of the case studies that had happened. These were actual real people. One girl, she was 16 years of age. She was date raped. First time I went into the church office to counsel her, she was wearing black fingernail polish. She was very dark looking, very depressed. She was reading some kind of looked like a witchcraft novel, very depressed. She had tried to cut herself. She was suicidal. And so we met together for the first time. And one of the assignments I gave her was to go home and memorize Psalm 42 and 46, which are psalms that the psalmist writes when he's depressed. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Put your trust in God. He is the lifter of your countenance. And so I gave her this assignment along with some others, and 6 weeks into our counseling, the fingernail polish was off. Not that black fingernail polish is bad if any of you are wearing it, but the fingernail polish was off, the dark looks, and she told me that she no longer had thoughts of suicide. And of course, I got her involved in her local church, told her to find a woman there to pour into her. She didn't live in my area. She lived about an hour away. Find someone to disciple you. And so that was encouraging. Another woman, she came in, her husband had committed adultery multiple times, and we went through Martha Peace's book, The Excellent Wife, which was very helpful to her. But also in the process, I encouraged her, because she wanted to remain in the marriage. I told her she had biblical grounds for divorce, but she wanted to restore the marriage. And so I encouraged her to memorize 1 Corinthians 13. And I said, every time you are tempted to have evil thoughts about your husband, I would like for you to rehearse 1 Corinthians 13. And she loved it. She said it actually, she said the pain of adultery was real, but she said because of having memorized 1 Corinthians 13 and what genuine love was, she said every time she had bad thoughts towards her husband, she chose to think on the things that were right. And she said it totally changed her marriage. Another gal that came in, I'll give you one more case study, and then we'll get into the meat of it. Someone said, are you going to teach us how to do this? And yes, I'm planning to. But another gal that I'd worked with, she'd been on Prozac for 14 years. Deb and I just went to Martha Peace's workshop, which was excellent on psychotropic drugs. But she had been on Prozac for 14 years due to anxiety and depression. And before she came to me, I don't recommend this, but she decided to go off those psychotropic drugs cold turkey. And so if you were in Martha's session, you know that that can cause a lot of withdrawal, anxiety, even more depression. And so she began to have these terrible withdrawals. She was extremely agitated and nervous. In our first session, we looked at the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus has cures for worry. Why worry? You know, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. This is what pagans do. My children don't worry. And so I encouraged her, as we worked through other things as well, to memorize Matthew chapter 6. And so, which is a great chapter on why we should worship. Jesus gives 8 reasons why we should worship over worry. And so I had her memorize that, and she would use her treadmill time to begin to memorize scripture. And it was funny, when she got done with the counseling, she also told me her dog was on Prozac, that her dog was depressed, and the vet put the dog on antidepressants. So I guess they're doing that now. But anyway, after we got done with our counseling time, she was doing very well, and she said, Susan, I'm going out and campaigning against psychotropic drugs. She said, they are so damaging to you. So totally changed her life. I could tell you other stories as well. A woman that now is a Bible study leader in my home church, she facilitates one of our groups, and as I'm teaching Ephesians this year to my ladies. And when I first met her, she's one of those counselees that she came to my home for counseling, and I can remember I was like, Lord Jesus, help me. This woman is psychotic. I don't know how I'm going to, I mean, it's one of those where you cry out to God for wisdom. And it's been amazing to see the changes in this woman. She has now memorized 9 books of the Bible. And God has used His Word to transform her mind and the way she thinks. And I truly thought, my first session with her in my home, I thought, this woman is psychotic and crazy, and I don't know how in the world I'm going to help her. But I got her hooked on scripture memorization, and she has really been a blessing. And now we're in a discipling relationship, and she's one of my leaders in the church. So I just wanted to share some of those things with you just to encourage you. But what I want to do in our time, if you have the notes downloaded from the app, I could never get the app to work on my phone. Do you couldn't either? It would not do it. Android wouldn't do it. Okay.
To the ACBC office down here, you have to do it through going to your computer through the web, Biblical Counseling.
Now they tell you we're about done. I mean, we only have a couple more hours. So, okay, well, thank you.
It's biblicalcounseling.com/ACNotes, like annual conference.
So that was part A of my session, case study. So we're going to look, I'm going to ask and answer some questions about the importance of teaching our counselees to memorize. Is scripture memorization really necessary for all those we counsel? Why should we encourage our counselees to memorize? What scripture should our counselee memorize? When should our counselee memorize scripture? And then lastly, how do we teach our counselees to memorize scripture? And maybe you're saying, Susan, just get to the last question, you know, so we can get out of here. But I want you to see the foundation of why it's important for your counselee to memorize scripture. And Dr. Street was actually, Janie Street's husband was my fellow when I got certified 20 years ago. And he probably got so put out with me because I when he asked for what homework assignments are you giving, I go, memorize scripture. And so he was very kind to me. He was a great guy. But anyway, who should memorize scripture? Is scripture memorization really necessary for all those that we counsel? Now, you can turn to Psalm 1 if you want to or just listen to it. But probably this is a psalm. And by the way, if none of your counselees or you yourself have never memorized scripture, this would be a good place to start. Just 6 verses. And it's probably a psalm that you're very, very familiar with. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. And so when you're trying to encourage your counselee to memorize scripture, you can show her that it says here, it is the godly woman, in our case, the godly woman, the godly man, who is so delighted with God's law that they meditate day and night. Now, you might have a problem with the word meditate. You might say this doesn't say memorize. But the Hebrew word for meditate means to murmur in a low tone of voice until it becomes implanted on the brain. To murmur, and that's what the Jews would do. In fact, most Jewish boys had the first 5 books of Moses memorized by the time they were 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And the way they would do it, in a low murmuring tone of voice. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's how they would do it, in a low tone of voice, until it became implanted on the brain. And this habit was, as the psalmist says, day and night, all the time. Now, when he says we meditate on the law of God, as I mentioned, what would that be? Anybody know what the law of God is? Come on, girls. Not that sleepy, are you? Yeah, the Torah, first 5 books of Moses. Today we have how many books? And how many women do you know meditate or memorize God's word? Not very many, right? Ladies, if you give your counselee the assignment of memorizing scripture as part of their homework assignment, and if they have the Holy Spirit of God living within them, it will change their life. It will change the way they think, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Also, New Testament, Colossians 3:16, that first book of the Bible I memorized due to my husband's encouragement. Paul says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Greek word for let means inhabit, and the word for word is logos. Paul is saying to the church of Colossae, they are to allow the entire body of God's truth to inhabit them. And ladies, the only way God's truth can inhabit us is if we know it. And remember, put your shoes or your sandals, whatever you have on this morning, put your shoes on as if you were with the saints in Colossae, because they didn't have a copy of God's word. It was expensive to have a part of copy of God's word. And so they had to listen to it being read and they had to memorize it, and it was a challenge. And so men and women of old had a special challenge to memorize God's Word. And even as the New Testament progressed, most men and women cherish God's Word more than you and I do. Listen to this. Tertullian devoted his days and nights to Bible reading, so much so he even memorized much of its punctuation. Beza could repeat all of Paul's letters in Greek at the age of 80. Cramer could repeat the entire New Testament from memory. Theodos the Younger could repeat any part of Scripture exactly. Now, the only person I know that ever memorized the whole Bible was the man who discipled my husband, which is probably why he had most of the New Testament memorized when I met him at the age of 18. Now, you might say, Susan, those are all men. Those are all men. Well, Frances Havergal, she wrote my favorite hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. How many of you know that song? We don't sing hymns anymore, but it's still my favorite. Listen to this. In her teenage years, she memorized the entire New Testament and the Psalms and Isaiah. In her teenage years. And in her later years, she memorized the minor prophets. Now, she died at the age of 43, and she did not die of memorizing Scripture. It will not kill you. I'm 66 and I'm still memorizing. But when she died at the age of 43, she had 12,935 verses committed to memory. And the way she memorized Scripture was she and her sister, if you've ever read her little autobiography for the Master's Use, she and her sister would go on walks together and memorize God's Word each day. What a blessed sister that is. There's two sisters over here, so maybe that's something for you two girls to do. One man I read about, he got saved at the age of 20. He decided he would just memorize one verse a day. By the time he was 3 years old in Christ, he had 1,000 verses memorized. Ladies, it's really not that hard. I mean, I could give you your first verse for today. Jesus wept. There you go. And tomorrow it's rejoice evermore. There's your one for tomorrow. The next day it's pray without ceasing. So see, you've got three. I know when my husband was alive and preaching, he used to say often to his congregants, he would say, the words quiet time and daily devotions have done more damage to the New Testament church than anything else. Because we get up in the morning, we brew our coffee or whatever, and we have 5 minutes with God, and we go our way, and we think we're okay. The New Testament saints would look at us as probably lost because they meditated in Scripture day and night. Ladies, we have the written word. We have several copies of it, translations. And yet, unfortunately, with all the advantages that you and I have, we are biblically illiterate. We are biblically illiterate. It is shocking when you have people come in for counseling. And I remember this one time, this woman came in for anxiety. She had problems with anxiety. And I said, well, turn in your Bible. I handed her my Bible, which often I do in the counseling room. I hand them the Scriptures. I have them read it to me. And then we talk about it. And I said, why don't you turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6? Because Jesus has a lot to say about anxiety. And I would like to talk to you about it. And the lady told me she went to church every Sunday, that she was a born-again believer, and she could not find the Gospel of Matthew. I didn't tell her to turn to Malachi, the Italian prophet. I said, Matthew. And she couldn't find it. And I thought, no wonder she's struggling with anxiety. She doesn't even know where to go in the Scriptures to find help for her anxiety. And ladies, with all the advantages we have, many, many people that come into your counseling room do not know where the simplest things are in the Scriptures. It is grievous. They can tell you what's going on in the world. They can tell you what's going on with the latest COVID restrictions. They can tell you all that. They can tell you what's on TV. They can tell you about the latest movies playing and the latest debates in the church. But they can't tell you where the simplest things are in Scripture. What an indictment. So if you're taking notes, the answer to the first question, who should memorize Scripture, it's fairly simple. All who know the Lord should be memorizing Scripture. I would highly encourage you to give Scripture memorization as homework assignments to your counselee. I could tell you story after story after story in the 20 years I've been certified of women whose lives have been transformed due to meditating, memorizing, and applying the Word of God to their life. Change them. The second question is why? Why should we encourage our counselees to memorize Scripture? And I'm going to give you 11 reasons why. And hopefully this will help you as you encourage them to memorize. The first thing, the first reason that it will encourage your counselee or help her is to be successful. The first reason is to be successful. And I'm not talking about, I'm not a word of faith teacher, so don't throw your water bottles at me. But to be successful. Remember the psalm we just read together? It says, the ungodly will not stand the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. But the verse before that, remember it says, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will what? Will prosper. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean you'll get rich. That's not what it means. But it means whatever you do will come to maturity. Your family life, your personal life, your spiritual life will be blessed and happy. Now, ladies, this is a wonderful reason to get your counselees to memorize God's Word. Why do people come in for counseling? Personal problems, family problems. So you can give them hope. As they hide God's Word in their heart, they will prosper. Their spiritual life will be blessed. Their family life will be blessed. The second reason you want to get your counselee to memorize Scripture is conviction of sin, which leads to sinning less. Conviction of sin, which leads to sinning less. This is a big reason for those you counsel, as many are coming to see you because of what? Sin, right? They've got some sin in their life, anxiety, worry. Maybe they've had sexual sin, pornography. We're seeing an increase in women now who are addicted to pornography. What does Psalm 119:11 say? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin against God. As your counselee commits to memory the word of God, they become more aware of what God says regarding how they are to live. I remember after the Lord saved me at the age of 30, I had a terrible temper, and my husband used to say he was going to put on my tombstone. She did it her way, so that kind of tells you what kind of wife I was. And after the Lord saved me at the age of 30, I began to memorize, I think it was 1 John and then James. And I remember I was coming to James 1:19, and it says, The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I thought, what does that mean? So I looked it up, and I go, oh, okay. So Susan Joy Heck decides to get angry. God's favor will not be towards her that day. And so God used that verse to really help me to put off my anger. It's one thing to read your Bible. You know, we read it kind of casually. But to have to go over and over that again, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The wrath of Susan Joy Heck will not produce God's righteousness towards her. If your counselee has the Holy Spirit of God living within her, she will become convicted. And hopefully, with the Holy Spirit's help, she will change. Number three, the third reason your counselee should memorize Scripture is because God's Word has power to change her life. God's Word has power to change her life. What does Hebrews 4:12 say? For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It is a discerner of your thoughts and intents of your heart. Ladies, God's Word is powerful. The words that you say in a counseling room have no power. But God's Word has power. It has convicting power. It has power to change their life. Number four, the fourth reason your counselee should memorize Scripture, it is commanded of us. It is commanded of us. Deuteronomy 6:6, what did Moses say? These words I command you this day shall be in your heart. Teach them diligently to what? Your children. When you sit down, when you walk by the way, when you lie down. The Jewish parents were to teach their children, but let me ask you a question. How were the Jewish mothers supposed to teach their children when most didn't have a copy of God's Word? They had to hide it, right? They had to have it in their mind so they could pass it on. Ladies, memorizing and meditating on Scripture is really not an option for us. Number five, the fifth reason your counselee should memorize Scripture is examples of the saints in the New Testament who memorized. You might say, why do you say that? Well, there's over 300 direct quotations in the New Testament from the Old Testament. Remember, they didn't have a personal copy of God's Word. How many of you have ever read Stephen's masterful sermon that he preached in Acts chapter 7? It's a great sermon. Girls, come on, all of you, right? Surely you read your Bible all the time. I mean, he gives 1,000 years of Israel's history. And you know, Stephen, before he gets stoned, he quotes from Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Amos, and Isaiah. How many Christians do you know can do that today? Not very many. Now, if you've fallen asleep because you're tired after lunch, wake up. This is a really important one for you as a counselor. The sixth reason your counselee should memorize Scripture, number six, is to transform their minds. Transform their minds. Ladies, again, I have seen this happen over and over and over with the women I counsel and disciple. Memorizing the Word of God has transformed the way they think about God, about their husbands, about their children, about their difficult situation. And the Bible tells us that, right? What does Paul say in Romans 12, 1 and 2? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by what? Reading Victoria's Secret catalogs? Renewing your mind. And Paul says in Ephesians 4, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How are we going to help these ladies renew their mind? Ladies, we've got a culture coming at us that is throwing all, and we've heard a lot about it this weekend, right? Or this week. Throwing all kinds of satanic lies towards us, towards our children. How are we going to help these women transform their mind? Through God's Word. It will transform their mind. Number seven, and maybe this is for you over her, but it will enable her to be a better counselor. And ladies, it'll enable you to be a better counselor too. Psalm 119 says this, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Through your commandments, you've made me wiser than my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Ladies, as a biblical counselor, maybe this reason is more for you than for them. But you know what? When you're sitting there in the counseling room and you are coming up against a case, something that you'd never heard before, and if you don't know God's Word, how are you going to instruct them? I guess you could do what we just heard. I think Dale, somebody said Google's your best friend. Google it. My husband used to call me the Google Queen. But, you know, you can say with conviction, you know, the Bible has something to say about your anger. Or, you know, the Bible has something to say about anxiety. Paul says something in Philippians 4, how we rid ourselves of anxiety. We pray, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's four Greek words there for prayer and what we're supposed to do. And so you as a biblical counselor, you need to know God's Word so that you can instruct with authority and conviction. And this is not only important for you, but for those you counsel, as hopefully one of our goals is that our counselee would not only be able to help themselves, right, but eventually help others as well. Number eight, the eighth reason your counselee should memorize Scripture, it will keep her from error. It will keep her from error. A very telling passage in Matthew 22 where the Sadducees are coming to Jesus. And remember, they say, hey, and I'm paraphrasing. Hey, Jesus, you know, this man and wife, they were married and the husband died. So according to the Old Testament law, she had to marry the brother. Well, guess what? She married him and then he died. And so eventually, you know, she had seven husbands, God forbid, but seven husbands. They didn't say that. I'm saying that. And they said, so in heaven, who's she going to be married to? And remember what Jesus said to them very wisely? You do err. Why were they in error? You do not know the Scriptures or the power of God. Ladies, If you get your counselee to memorize scripture, it will help her to know to be without error. I'm convinced today that many women are struggling with life-dominating sins because they do not know the God of the Bible. They do not know the God of the Bible. I come from Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is known really, it's known as the Bible Belt, but it's really the heresy capital of the world. That's where the Word of Faith movement started. And so a lot of women that I have counseled are involved in the prosperity gospel, new apostolic reformation. And so you have to get them to think biblically. And that's a challenge. They have come out of a lot of heresy, a lot of error. We as women are more easily deceived. We know the Bible tells us that. And so we have a greater challenge to memorize and study God's Word. In fact, that's my phone going off. Goes off every day at 1 o'clock. Most cults, sorry about that. Should have thrown it to Deb. Tells me to take my vitamins. All right. Sorry about that. Most cults and most heresies are started by what? Scripture taken out of context. Today, there's over 4,000 cults and heresies. What's going to keep your counselee from becoming a casualty? I will tell you, get her into the scriptures. Have her memorize God's word for a changed life and to saturate her heart and her mind with the word of God. Number nine, the ninth reason that you should memorize scripture or have your counselee to memorize scripture is because it will increase her love for God along with her knowledge of God. It will increase her love for God and her knowledge of God. 1 John says in chapter 5, verse 2, by this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and they're not a burden. They're not irksome. You know what John is doing? He's measuring our love for God by what? Our obedience to Him. And ladies, hopefully the women that come into your office or your home for counseling, hopefully they love God, right? And what a better way to show their love for God than to memorize the letters that He's left for them, right? There's 66 of them. And it's amazing to me how many women have never even read the 66 letters that God has written to them. I mentioned to those of you that came in late, my husband passed away a year ago, and when we were dating at Moody Bible Institute, we didn't have cell phones back then. I don't even know if we had internet back then. That's how long it's been. But anyway, he actually would write me letters, you know. And so when I got out of my classes, I would go to my P.O. box and I'd get that letter and I'd take it up to the seventh floor and I'd read it over and over and over again. And then I would read it to my roommate. She probably got sick of it. And now I have those letters in a shoebox and I keep them. And I even have some letters even with me that he wrote me in the last few years before the Lord took him home. But I would reread those over and over and over again. And the reason I did that was because I was in love with the author, and I still am, even though he's been in heaven a year. I'm still in love with the author. His words were important to me because of my love for him. Ladies, God's word should be important to us. It should be important to those that we counsel, because hopefully we are in love with the author. Ladies, I know of no better way to know God and His word than to memorize it. You will learn so much about God and who He truly is, not by casually reading your Bible, even a good lady's Bible study is good, but memorizing God's Word, going over and over and over it. In fact, if you're a teacher of the Word of God, I would encourage you to pick up this habit. It will revolutionize your teaching. Number 10, the 10th reason that your counselee should memorize Scripture, it will comfort her in her afflictions. It will comfort her in her afflictions. Psalm 119:50 says this, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Now, ladies, I know we can open up our Bible, we can open up our app, and we can look at Scripture anytime we want, right? But what about if you're in my shoes, August 17th, 2021, 1:23 in the morning, and I get a call from the hospital, your husband's gone. My son, who was a pastor, was upstairs. I told him, you know, they wouldn't let me see my husband because of COVID restrictions. the 10 days he was there. But they'll let us see your dad now, so get dressed. We're going to go see him. And when I got there, he was actually still warm, so I wanted to just see him, you know. But you know what flooded my mind? The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good to those who love God. Then I went in the bathroom, and I have calligraphied, ladies in my church, 11 principles from Jehoshaphat's prayer that I taught one time, what to do when you don't know what to do. And so I went through that text, taught that to my ladies, and I said, Lord, I'm going to acknowledge your goodness. I'm going to acknowledge your greatness. And I'm not saying you know, have to have a lot of scripture memorized, but ladies, when you go through a crisis of some sort, or you're trying to help those that you counsel that are going through a crisis, it's best if you don't fumble through the scriptures, right? Be able to have that in your mind and your heart. So as one man says, your blood is bibline, right? I think that was said about John Bunyan. Do you know enough of God's word that you can help those that come to you for counseling that are in a crisis situation? What about when you become in a crisis situation? Do you know enough of God's word to give you comfort in your affliction? I don't know if this will ever happen. It might. But if we are ever persecuted to the point that we lose our Bibles, it could happen. It does happen in third world countries. I've been there where they would cherish a page of a Bible. But if that ever does happen, do you know enough of God's word? Does your counselee know enough of God's word to give them help and hope in that situation? We have no idea what's going to happen, right, before the Lord returns. Number 11, last but not least, it will help your counselee in her old age. It will help her in her old age. Isaac Watts, and that great hymn writer, once said this: as we get older, our brain shrinks and hardens from lack of use, and the best therapy for the brain is memorizing. And of course, he says, the best thing to memorize is Scripture. I heard Howard's workshop on helping the aged, and this would be a wonderful thing, right? If you're counseling someone who has grown old, and to help them in memorizing God's word, it will help them in their old age. And I actually remember this when Debbie, who's sitting in the back there, she travels with me, and we were in Texas. I was there speaking years ago, and her dad was in a home, and she said, do you care if we go see him? And I said, no, that'd be great. So we went and saw him, and we were just talking. He didn't know Debbie. He didn't know me, and he looked over at me, and he said, who's that? And Debbie said, Daddy, that's Susan, and she teaches women the Bible. And you know what came out of his mouth? Now, remember, he didn't know Debbie. He didn't know me. But you know what came out of his mouth? Oh, yeah, Jesus did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. The next morning, Debbie went back to the home. I stayed in the hotel room to study. He didn't know Debbie that morning. Didn't know we'd been there the night before. But you know what? He knew God's word. And the people there told Debbie, they said, your dad is the sweetest man here. Well, of course he is. He got the Lord, right? And so he might not know who's who, but he knew God's word. And I don't know about you ladies. When I get old, I am old. But when I get really old, and if my kids stick me in one of those places, I hope I have scripture coming out of my mouth, right? But actually, one of the ladies who disciples me, she's going to be 90 next month, and she's been discipling me for 30 years. She says, Susan, she's from Atlanta, even though she lives in Tulsa. Susan, who you are when you're old is who you really are. And I'm like, okay, so better start being sweet now, right? And she's lost two husbands, and she's been such a blessing to me. But she radiates the glory of God and graciousness. But it really is true. Who you are when you're old is who you really are. So, ladies, you better start getting your counselee to transform her mind right now. So, well, the third question we want to answer is what? What scripture? So you might say, well, Susan, okay, you've given me enough arsenal to tell my counselee she really needs to memorize scripture. I need to memorize scripture. I see why I need to do this. But what scripture should I get my counselee to memorize? Well, keep in mind what Paul says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, right? Reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we know all Scripture is profitable, but you probably don't want her starting with Leviticus. But as I mentioned earlier when I gave that case of the 16-year-old girl who was date raped, and I had her memorize Psalm 42 and 43, those are great psalms. If you're counseling someone who's struggling with depression, I definitely would take her to Psalm 42 and 43. If you're counseling someone who's struggling with anxiety and worry, Matthew chapter 6, Philippians chapter 6, those deal with anxiety, worry, even contentment. I haven't eaten lunch, so I don't eat before I teach, so I'm going on a few crackers and butter. That's all I've had today. But thank you. Philippians chapter 4. Difficulty loving their husband, loving their children, loving, God forbid, their pastor or his wife. But, 1 Corinthians 13 would be good, the chapter on love. She has a problem with her tongue, flattery, gossip, slander. Maybe she talks too much, multitude of words, transgression is unavoidable. Have her memorize James 3. I remember when I taught James to the ladies in my church, when we got to chapter 3, it was so quiet for the next few months. Nobody said anything. So that is a great portion to memorize. So you might be saying, well, you're talking about chapters, not verses. I have no problem with you giving them a verse here or there, but the problem with verses, random verses, is a lot of times, and I've even seen this in counseling situations, where they give a verse to memorize that is really taken out of its context. So if you're going to do that, if you're going to assign your counselee a random verse, please make sure that you honor our Lord and that it's in its context. And that is just what's before it, what's after it. Are you really using it in its context? For example, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've heard people assign that verse for crazy stuff, The context is contentment. Paul's already said, I'm content whether I'm hungry, whether I'm full, good relationship, bad relationships. Doesn't matter where I'm at, what I'm doing, if I'm, what's happening to me. I can do this through Christ who infuses strength in me. So he's talking about contentment. And so he's not talking about a lot of things that I have heard people use that verse for. So just make sure, again, if you use a random verse, that you have your counselee use it in an appropriate way. And remember, cults and heresies are formed due to verses taken out of their context. That's one of the reasons I believe that books or chapters or great portions of God's Word are the best methods for memorizing. Also, a lot of people ask about, and I have a lot more information in my booklet back there on Scripture Memory. It's also on YouTube. You can hear this on YouTube, but not in the form of as for the counselor to the counselee, but there is teaching on my YouTube channel on this. But just remember, too, if you are going to have her memorize a chapter, a portion of God's Word, I don't memorize James 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4, period, comma. The translators came in and added the chapters and the verses. You can have her do that, but I know women that have done that, and it's very challenging and very difficult to have to say James 1, 1, then James 1, 2, 1, 3, and put all that in. So remember that the translators came in and did that. And again, I just want to reiterate, if you have your counselee, just memorize a verse or two. Please make sure it's in its proper context. The next question we want to ask, we got a few minutes, and I might even have time for questions. That'll be good. Next question we want to ask and answer is, when do we do this? Remember what the psalmist said? Day and night. You can teach her that there are many times during her day where her mind is in neutral. I find a lot of opportunities where I have to memorize Scripture. When my husband was living, I used to stop usually what I was doing around 3 o'clock every day and start to ask him when he wanted dinner. And so I'd go to the kitchen and start cooking dinner and for the two of us. And so a lot of times I'd have my verses with me in the kitchen, and I would use that time ironing. I know most people don't iron. I still iron occasionally, but, ironing is really boring. So it's a good time to, and I also would keep my verses on the washer and dryer when I would do laundry for us. And even now, as I do it just for myself, I usually have my verses in there, because while you're folding clothes or changing out clothes, you can be memorizing. You don't need to try this, but I do it in the car. And, I remember one time I had it taped to my steering wheel. And, you know, because you can drive and still, you know, sort of. But anyway, I got pulled over for going a little over the speed limit. And I was going down a hill, not to justify. But anyway, the policeman pulled me over and he said, "Ma'am, I appreciate your scripture, but I'm going to give you a ticket anyway." And I said, "Okay, well, whatever. I deserve it." So, but you would be surprised how many times we as women, our minds are just in neutral. Yeah. We're really not thinking about anything worth value. So why not fill your mind with God's word? Doctor's offices, if you still go to the doctor. I mean, the waiting in long lines. And when we lived out in California, when my husband was in seminary in the 80s, many times I would be taking the kids somewhere, and the traffic would just come to a complete halt. And so I'd have my scripture there with me, because if you're sitting 20, 30 minutes waiting for the traffic to move, it keeps you from beginning impatient or angry. Now, the last question, and I know you're probably saying, "Well, why didn't you just get to this so I could get on to the rest of my day?" How do we do this? How do we teach our counselee to memorize scripture? Well, I want to give you three helps in how to help them get started. And then I'm going to give you the method my husband gave me that has helped really not only me through the years of memorizing God's word, but many women, especially older women that have a difficulty with their mind in memorizing God's word. They have come back with emails or text messages to me saying for the first time in their life they've been able to memorize and retain scripture memorization. So I do want to give you the method that my husband gave to me when I was 18 years of age. But to get started, I'm going to give you three helps. Number one, they got to start. They have to start. Give scripture memorization as one of their first homework assignments. Get them started. Get yourself started. Maybe memorize with them. Say, "You know what? I'm going to give you, this is your assignment this week. I want you to memorize Psalm 1. And you know what? I'm going to memorize it with you. It's just 6 verses. We're going to meet next week, so we'll have the Lord's Day off, but that's just 1 verse a day. So let's text each other every day and see if we have our verse done." And so do it with them. Number two, help them to set realistic goals. What is realistic for them? If they're a mother and they have 8 children and they homeschool, they are not going to be able to probably memorize a lot, but they can memorize some. So help them to set realistic goals so they don't become frustrated or feel defeated in the situation of memorizing scripture. And then thirdly, hold them accountable. When they come back for your second session or third session, say, "Hey, did you get your verses memorized this week? I sure would like to hear them, and I'll share mine with you too." And I can tell you, when I first started memorizing scripture, I did have someone to hold me accountable, and it was very, very helpful. As I've aged and I've become more, enjoy it so much more and look forward to it, I don't really need the accountability, because I'm kind of crazy like that. But I really do. I've seen the benefit now after doing it for 36 years. And so it truly is probably my favorite spiritual discipline, is memorizing God's word. So anyway, but it is good in the beginning to have some accountability. Now, I do want to give you the method that my husband shared with me when I was 18 years of age that has helped me and helped others to retain scripture. Also, I will say there are other methods. This is not the only method. I know a lot of people like to write out their verses. They like to put them on 3x5 cards. A lot of them like to have little stickers. You know, "Thy word have I hid in my heart," so they have a little red heart. I don't have time for that. But if that's what helps you or your counselee, then try those methods. I'm not against those methods, but the method that I use has helped me through the years. And so I know there's a lot of scripture memorization apps now. You can, I think, memorize anything, and there's several of them where you can go into your Google Play or whatever you have, and there are scripture memorization apps that actually help you in your scripture memorization process. But the method my husband shared with me pretty much goes like this. He encouraged me to start with the Epistle of Colossians, as I said earlier, and he encouraged me to put it back then. We didn't have cell phones, sorry about that, but I think life was better without them, actually. But anyway, we had cassettes. Anybody know what a cassette is? Yeah, okay. Somebody said boombox this weekend. Everybody's like, "What's that?" But a cassette recorder. So he encouraged me to put the Epistle to the Colossians on some type of recording device. Now I use my phone because I have a recording app on my phone. and put it on with my own voice as fast as I can. Like Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, saints and faithful brother in Christ, are at Colossae, grace be unto peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. And so Doug said, after you get it on, he said, just listen to it. Listen to it while you're getting dressed in the morning, getting ready for class. Listen to it. Just different times. Just be listening to it. And so I did that, and the reason he told me to do that was they've proven statistically that our brain picks up things easier and quicker and cements them in our brain if we listen to things at a faster speed over a slow speed. So that was the first thing he told me to do. The second thing, and I'm more of a visual learner than audio, so was to make a copy. Like right now I'm in Genesis chapter 15. So he said, make a copy out of your Bible. And so, I know a lot of people like to write out their verses, put them on 3x5 cards. But I would always have this with me. And so while I'm listening to Colossians, I'm kind of getting the four chapters, what's in them, and it's kind of in my mind already because I'm listening to it at a fast speed. But I'm also I have it in this, and I carry it with me wherever I go. I mean, this was in my notebook back or there, and so I have this with me at all times. And so when I have a few moments, I get it out. Oh, yeah, Paul and Apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul and Apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So you do it like everyone else does, right? You get a verse, then you go on to verse 2, but you always go back to verse 1 so you don't forget verse 1, right? So now this is the second key that will help your counselee and you retain what they memorize. After you finish, like say Colossians, or let's say you're just going to have them do Psalm 1. Let's just say you're going to do Psalm 1. After they've completed it, if they will say it every day out loud for 30 days, they'll have it. I mean, how many of you remember the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America? How do you know that? Because you said it every day in school. You know, I can still remember my address when I was in sixth grade. 1519 South 76th East Avenue, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74112. My phone number was 918-627-4493. How do I know that? Because I said it every day. You know, when you're a little kid in school, I mean, you learned it. And so if you'll say it every day for 30 days out loud, you'll pretty much have it. You had a question.
Yeah.
Well, like if you, for me, when I memorize, after I finish Colossians, I said it every day for 30 days out loud.
The whole book.
But you can do, now that I, like when I was memorizing some of the Gospels where the chapters were very long, I would say just the chapter itself, because it would be hard to say Matthew 1 to 28 every day out loud for 30 days.
Can you speak to the long-term
review? What I do, for me personally, what I do is I try to memorize it. I try to review the New Testament within 2 weeks. And the way I do it now, once I know I have something down, like I just finished Ecclesiastes, probably last year, and now I'm in Genesis and I'm in chapter 15. So the way I do now, I have a review system of trying to review everything I know. Ecclesiastes I review every day because it was my last book I memorized. And then Genesis 1 to 15, I review every day, along with my, you know, reading and stuff, but so that I don't lose those. But then the other books of the Bible, usually when I go on my walk in the morning, I have them on my phone, and so I will listen to them. I try to walk 30 minutes to an hour every day when I'm able to, and so I'm reviewing as I'm walking. And that's been a good review system for me. When I finished the New Testament several years ago, my husband encouraged me to stop and to review every book of the Bible, make sure I was, so I wrote down where I was slipping in areas, and that has been helpful to go back. So thank you for that question. I don't know if I was done there or not. I think so. Let me read one woman's testimony real quick. It's just very short, and then I'll open it up for questions. I think we still have about 10 minutes. This was a place I spoke in New York, and I spoke on memorizing the word, minding your mind, and practicing contentment. And she told me, she wrote me this email, and she said, I was challenged intellectually, but I did not begin to take serious to take up the challenge in practice. I guess you might say I filed it away in my mind, and I went about struggling with life and habits of sin, like having food as my idol. When I think back to where I could have been if I put into practice committing scripture to memory, if I had acted on your challenge in 2011, I think of how different my relationship with the Lord would have been if I began to think on Scripture in the moments when there was nothing going on in my brain. I can't begin to tell you the joy that I've had since I began this journey and the insight that I'm getting about the gospel. She said, oh, I just love it. She said, I think the biggest reason I hear when the subject of Scripture memorization comes up is I can't do that, and memory problems are cited. She said, I had this difficulty too, and I believe that was my excuse. My hope is that by God's grace, these women will be able to see it in just 20 days how much can be learned with memory problems. She said, all of life gets in the way. It can be done if you only begin, as you said so clearly. I am thankful for those 2 days I heard the importance of Scripture memorization. And ladies, I get testimonies like this all the time. I was in Iowa a few years ago, and a lady came up to me and she said, I don't even think I spoke on Scripture memory. But she said, I was really convicted because she said, I was using my nursing time with my baby daughter to check all my likes on Facebook. And she said, I was really convicted. I think I talked about the pride of life or something. And so she said, I decided to use my nursing time to memorize God's word. And she said, I memorize 10 verses a day now during my nursing time. And I emailed her back and I said, your baby daughter is going to benefit far more from your Scripture memorization than you're checking your Facebook account to see how many people liked your post. And so I get testimonies of this all the time. And it's not me. It's God's word that is changing their life. And so, ladies, I hope this session has been encouraging to you, not only for you personally, but for those that you counsel. Get them into Scripture memorization. If they know the Lord, they have the Holy Spirit living within them, He will transform them from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, through His Word. So we do have 5 minutes. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to try to help. Yes? In grief situations, I would probably take them to the Psalms. I have to say, though, after my husband died, I was in Ecclesiastes, and that book really helped me. It's the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth, and just the futility of life and how short it is. And so the conclusion is fear God and keep His commandments. That really, I know that sounds like a strange portion of God's word that ministered to me when my husband passed, but it did. And I have found it to be a huge blessing, just the futility of life. Everything we pursue is vanity, always vanity, except fear God and keep His commandments. But I would definitely have them into the Psalms or Philippians chapter 4. Don't be anxious about anything. Also, that's the whole section on contentment. And I think women who are going through widowhood like I am or other types of grief, they become very discontent. And I know that's one of the things a lady told me. There's two women who disciple me, but the one who has lost two husbands, she said, Susan, you've got to stop thinking about what you've lost, and you need to start thinking about what you have. And so that's just learning to be content. I'm not married anymore, and so I need to be content with what God's given to me. So that's been very helpful. Yes?
I would also add to you, you need to stop thinking about what you've lost and what you have, and be grateful for what you have. Mm-hmm.
As she told me to think on all those good memories. Yeah.
But I am grateful for the years that I had with it.
Amen. Me too. 47 of them. So, yes.
So we assign them Scripture to memorize. They come back the next week. They haven't memorized it. How long do you continue counseling them if they refuse to do this assignment?
Well, I know my husband used to say in discipleship, honey, you can't make that a mandate. But I tried, and so I just try to lovingly encourage them. I wouldn't quit counseling someone for that. But what I would do if they haven't is say, well, let's read the passage together right now. Why don't you open your Bible and just read it? Why don't you read it to me 5 times? Just read Psalm 1 5 times, and then maybe that'll maybe, from, yeah, yes. Or somebody over here had a question. Yes.
When you say you record yourself quickly. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. I did then. Now with Genesis, I just a chapter at a time.
Because it's so long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The attention part is the hard part for me.
Retention. Yeah. But if you will say it, like I know the books of the Bible that I reviewed, like my husband encouraged me to do, those are the ones that are the best. The ones that I didn't review every day for 30 days are not the best. They're the ones I have the most difficulty with. So, and as I age, obviously that happens too. Your mind isn't quite as sharp so as it used to be. Not that mine ever was, but yes.
I'm still stuck on the review. So
okay.
You do a whole book, 30 days. Uh-huh. You go into another book, let's say, and you do that for 30 days. When does the review come in for you? What has worked the best? Like you do a whole book and then every 2 weeks go back and review the one you've memorized?
No. For me personally, I review the most recent book I just finished. Try to do that every day, and then my current, whatever I'm working on.
It's two at a time.
Yeah, usually, yeah. But Ecclesiastes really isn't that long. It's just 12 chapters, and they're really short. So I could probably say Ecclesiastes in 12, 15 minutes, something like that. So now Genesis is a little more challenging, and I am not memorizing. I asked my husband about the genealogies, and he said, honey, don't be legalistic. So it's like... Because I came to Genesis 14, and I'm like, that war that's taking place. I have no idea what those words. I thought it would take me a week just to pronounce one man's name. So I just say, 1-7 is this war going on, and then there's the Valley of Siddim, there were slime pits, and, I move on. So it's like, there's a war going on there. I don't know what's happening. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I try to review the whole New Testament within about 2 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But is that when you just listen? Because I like how you said that.
Yeah, pretty much. Because once you get a book right, you really, by listening to it, you can go along with it and, yeah. Yeah, say it with it or just listen to it while I take a walk or whatever. Really exercising is one of the better ways to memorize because there's, at least with the translation I remember, and that's the other thing, don't change translations. Stick to one translation. But there's kind of a bounce to it. Oh, yeah, time. She's telling me it's time to go. And we do have a few books back there. If you're interested, and there is the scripture memory booklet back there, too. So thank you, ladies, so much.
You're listening to a resource from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to promote excellence in biblical counseling. For more resources or to find out more information about ACBC, please visit us at biblicalcounseling.com.